The voice of the Cape from Masjid Urabi, Portland, in Mitchell's Plain. We will be honoring the Sheikh of the Imam, and that is none other than Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriel, to start off with proceedings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqadatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. اللهم لا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين ولا أقل من ذلك. My beloved mothers and fathers, and beloved sisters and brothers, and beloved and honorable youth and children, and beloved community and listeners of the voice of the Cape and the city of Cape Town, I greet you all with the universal greetings of love and peace and honor and respect and tolerance and understanding and mercy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors that Allah has bestowed upon us. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the great favor that we are again in a Jumu'ah. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the greatest favor, and that is that Allah has guided us to be part of the ummah of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. And we bear testimony that no one has got the right to be worshipped except Allah alone. And we also bear testimony that our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final and the greatest messenger of Allah. Al-Qa'il, the one that said, أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِيَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَكْثَرْهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً. The people nearest to me on the day of Qiyamah, and the people first in line to enter the Jannah through the Shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are those Muslimin who have put the most salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us to be of those people. So that's our first reminder for today, that we must increase every day our salawat on our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just imagine Rasulullah says, if you put one salah on me, then Allah will put 10 salawat, 10 mercy from Allah on you. And if you put 100 salawat on Rasulullah, Allah will put 1,000 mercy on you. Allahu Akbar. So please join me in putting salawat on Rasulullah, because we know there are malaika all around the world. And wherever we are, and especially on a Friday, they will take our salawat and present it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So please join me in putting salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. MashaAllah, so beautiful. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala hadha nabiyil kareem. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this holy hour of Jumu'ah to put salawat and salam and barakah on our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on all his brothers of the Anbiya and Mursaleen and all their families and friends. Wa ahsan Allah khitami wa khitamakum wa khitam al-Muslimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant me and your honorable selves and each and every Muslim the most beautiful ending of this world. And may Allah raise us the day of Qiyamah under the banner of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amma ba'd fa ya ibadallah. After that, O beloved servants of Allah, ittaqullah wa istata'atum. Be conscious of Allah always. And fear Allah as much as possible. Wa ati'u. And be obedient to Allah. Fama as'adakum in ata'atum. For indeed, in the whole world, no one is more happier and no one is more successful than the one that is obedient to Allah and obedient to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ فِي مُحْكَمِ التَّنْزِيلِ بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْقِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم صدق الله مولانا العظيم فمات مسلمين الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Holy Quran and may Allah open our hearts for the words of Allah and may Allah increase our love for the Holy Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْقِ. Those people who brought forward the slander against Sayyidatina Aisha, the wife of Rasulullah, the mother of the believers, our mother. In the time of Rasulullah, when Rasulullah came back from a battle, said that Aisha was delayed. And when she came into Medina with one of the Sahaba that respected her and honored her, the Munafiqeen saw it fit to make a fitna and say, Astaghfirullah, that Sayyidina Aisha had done zina with the Sahabi. Astaghfirullah. Allah says, those people who brought the slander, they are a group amongst you. But don't think that it's bad for you. There's a lot of good in it. And for each one of them that were involved in this fitna, they will have their share of punishment. And the head of them, the head of the munafiqin, he will have a severe punishment, says Allah. And then Allah says, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ. Why then, when you heard this fitna, this slander about the wife of Rasulullah, about the mother of the Muslim Ummah, such a great woman, Sayyidina Aisha, why then didn't you think good about your own selves, left alone the mother of the Mu'mineen? Why didn't you say, this, it is a lie, it can't, it won't happen ever, that the wife of Rasulullah and the mother of the Muslim Ummah will ever do zina and haram. لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَىٰ. Why then did they not come with four witnesses? Because if you accuse anybody of zina and you don't bring four witnesses, then you will be punished according to the law of Allah. It is so easy. If Allah's law was not here, it would have been so easy to degrade and to defame any Muslim. To say that that brother and that sister have made zina, immoral sex. But Allah warns us. And Allah has made it so that you must have with you four witnesses that have seen everything. And I'm saying again, If this law of Allah was not in place, it would have been so easy for people to degrade any person that he dislikes. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. This matter is so serious, is Allah. If it was not for the favors of Allah, وَرَحْمَتُهُ in Allah's mercy, فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ لَمَسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَفَضْتُمْ فِي عَذَابٍ. Then Allah would have punished you for spreading such fitna. إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. When you receive it with your tongues, you didn't even need your ears time to listen to it. Allah says, إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. You receive it with your tongues and your mouth started to spread the fitna. مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِعِلْمٍ. Of which you have no knowledge. You haven't seen it. You just heard the fitna and you spread the fitna. وَتَخْسَبُونَهُ هَيْهِنًا. Allah says, man, brothers and sisters, please go to Surah An-Nur and you will read these ayats. Allah says, and you might think that that is a small issue. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. But by Allah, it is serious. It's major. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَنْ نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. Why then, when you heard this slander of Sayyidina Aisha, why didn't you say, it is not befitting for us to speak about it? And I'm appealing again to all Muslims here in Cape Town to go to Surah An-Nur. You can go to the translation. Allah says, why then didn't you, when you heard about this slander and this fitna, why didn't you say, it is not befitting for us to speak about it? Subhanaka, glory be to you, Allah. هذا بهتان عظيم. This is a great lie. يعيدكم الله أن تعودوا لمثلي أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين. And then Allah says, and Allah forbids you from to repeat this and warns you not to repeat it forever if you are believers. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال. The Nabi Muhammad says, listen to this important hadith, especially in the time that we live in now. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. Enough is it for a person that it will be considered as a sin that you speak بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. Whatever you hear, then you just give it over to other people. Isn't that the problem today? Whichever message we receive on WhatsApp, we just send it around. Enough is it, is a sin. Listen to the following hadith of our beloved Nabi Muhammad, the greatest leader. An Hafs ibn Asim قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كفى بالمرء كذبا أن يحدث بكل ما سمع. Enough is it, is a lie. Enough is it considered to be a lie that whatever you hear, you speak about it. My dear ones, Allah has blessed us in this country and in this beautiful city of Cape Town. And this community of Cape Town is a beautiful community and it's a loving community. So we as a community, we shouldn't allow a few fitna mongers to spoil and to damage our beautiful community. The fitna mongers will always be there. They even try in the time and the best of times, in the time of Rasulullah, they spread the fitna of the wife of Rasulullah. So the fitna mongers will always be there. Don't think there won't be fitna mongers now in Cape Town or anywhere in the world. They will always be there. And they are a handful in numbers. And I want to say that they didn't care or mind to slander and damage the reputation of the greatest leader, our beloved Nabi Muhammad. Because that was actually the aim. The aim was to slander Sayyidina Aisha, but to slander the household of Rasulullah sallallahu, the greatest leader. The fitna mongers didn't even mind to damage the reputation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah, our protector, Allah, our protector, and Allah will protect this deen, came to the rescue and gave this ummah lifelong lessons in how they should deal with these type of situations. But before we get there, let me first of all share with you, my dear brothers and sisters, and honorable youth, and the beautiful community of Cape Town, and the listeners of the Voice of the Cape, let me share with you a very beautiful and important hadith of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ما من امرئ مسلم يرد عن إرض أخيه إلا كان حقا على الله أن يرد عنه نار جهنم يوم القيامة. The Nabi Muhammad says, any Muslim that defends and protects the honor of his Muslim brother and his Muslim sister, listen to what Rasulullah says, then it is Allah has taken as a haq on Allah, that Allah will protect you from the fire of Jahannam. I think it is worthwhile to repeat that hadith. Any person that defends and protects the honor of your Muslim brother, and we have got 1.6 billion brothers and sisters in the world. So if you protect and defend any Muslim, his honor and his dignity, and you stand up for his honor, then Allah will stand up for you the day of Qiyamah, and Allah will protect you and defend you from the fire of Jahannam. My dear ones, allow me to remind you that it is haram to violate the honor of a Muslim. It is haram to break up in pieces the honor and the dignity of any Muslim. Rasulullah alayhi wasallam made tawaf around the Baytullah. And the Nabi Muhammad reminded the Sahaba وسلم, about the greatness of the Kaaba. But then the Nabi Muhammad reminded them and said, and the honor of a Muslim is greater than the Kaaba. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We thank Allah for granting so much honor to us. Our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on the night of Mi'raj, the Nabi Muhammad saw people and their nails, they have copper nails, and they were scratching their faces with copper nails and the other upper part of their bodies. And Nabi Muhammad asked Jibreel, said, who are these people? And Jibreel said, innahum humu alladhina ya'kuluna al-luhuma an-nas wa yaqa'una a'radahum. Those were the people that backbited and ate the flesh of the Muslimin and violated their honor. Those are these people, says Jibreel alayhi salam. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, allow me to remind everybody and myself first, أَنَّ الْغِيبَ مُحَرَّمًا. Ghiba, backbiting, like we call it in Cape Town, fitna, is haram. And it's not only haram, it is one of the major sins. And one of our lessons for today, because the Jumu'ah is all about learning lessons. The Jumu'ah is all about moving forward. The Jumu'ah is all about improving our lives. So our lesson, one of our lessons for today is, إِذَا سَمِعَ الْمُسْلِمِ مَنْ يَغْتَابُ يَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِ. If this in your company, if anybody eat the flesh of a Muslim brother and sister of you, if anybody fitna, if anybody backbite your Muslim brother and sister in your company, then you must say to him, يا أخي, my brother, اتق الله, fear Allah. هذا لا يجوز, this is not permissible. الغيبة محرمة, backbiting is haram. Because our beloved Nabi Muhammad says, "Man radda an irdi akhi fil ghayb, radda Allah an wajhi an-nar yawm al-qiyamah." Once again, in another narration, the Nabi Muhammad says, "Whosoever defends the honor of his brother or sister in that person's absence, that Muslim brother is not here, he's not present, but somebody else is backbiting and eating his flesh alive, and you stand up and you tell him, 'No, I'm not going to allow you,' then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save your face from the fire of Jahannam the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah." So today, honorable, beautiful community of Cape Town, I want to defend the honor and the dignity of one of our brothers. And his name is Ibrahim Rasool. In fact, he's a dear and a special brother and son of this community. A man from a young age, he stood up for justice. And unlike other people here in South Africa, there was only a handful of them. They were so brave. They were not afraid to go to jail. They were locked up in the jails of apartheid because they stood up for justice. They stood up against discrimination. And I'm saying again, while so many and the majority of people were afraid to speak up and to do anything, but this young man, he stood up. And he sacrificed his family. And he sacrificed his young wife. Why? For justice. And not only that, he did it in the name of Islam. He called his organization the Call of Islam. The Call of Islam. Maybe the young people doesn't know about it. What's the meaning of the Call of Islam? We're not only standing up against apartheid. This is the Call of Islam. Isn't it the Call of Islam? Rasulullah came to make haram any racism. This is the Call of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, discrimination, apartheid. So Mr. Ibrahim Rasool called this organization, and he was the head of the organization, the Call of Islam. And it's because of these type of people that we as the Muslims of South Africa are enjoying. We are of the most free Muslims in the world. Let me say it again and loud and clear. We are of the most free Muslims in the world. We can do anything in this world, in South Africa. And I can't say that for so many Muslims all over the world. In fact, in the majority of the Muslim countries, the Muslims don't enjoy the freedom that we enjoy. And once again, I'm going to say, it is because of brothers, honorable brothers, like Ibrahim Rasool, who became the first Muslim premier in a country of 50 million. In such a big province, we had a Muslim premier. And people don't think anything about violating his honor. So I'm today here with the hope, inshallah, that Allah will defend me and protect me from the fire of Jahannam. I will stand up for our brother's honor and dignity. In this country, I want to say it with tears in my eyes. In this country, we can stand up for Masjid al-Aqsa. We can stand up for Palestine. And once again, most of the countries, they can't do it, even in Muslim countries. They can't stand up for Palestine. I met one of the ulama of Uganda at the Sons of conference 2 years ago. And I asked him, "What do you do in Uganda for Palestine?" They say they are not permissible to do anything. They're not allowed to a demonstration. In this country, we are allowed, and may Allah assist us, inshallah, that our youth and our Muslims in South Africa, and even non-Muslims in South Africa, are standing up for Palestine. Alhamdulillah. Now, my dear ones, let us not go back to how Allah starts the questions. Lawla, why then? So we want to add, why then didn't you think good about your Muslim brother, Mr. Rasool, that you won't let his daughter, he's a man of understanding, that he won't let his daughter get married to a mushrik. Why did you think that way? Why you make a fitna? Why you violate the honor of himself, his wife, and his daughter? Why then didn't the imam that delivered the khutbah last week here in Mitchell's Plain, that went viral, why didn't he verify and establish the facts before violating the honor of a young bride and a young groom? He based the Jumu'ah and the khutbah that went viral that the young man was a Hindu, is a mushrik. Only afterwards, his own people told him, Sheikh, you made a mistake. The man embraced Islam. And with this Jumu'ah, violating the honor and the dignity of the sheikhs and the imams who were present, and in fact, calling them kafirin. Kafirin. The sheikhs and the imams that were there, kafirin. Not only that, they are evil, misguided leaders. And they are leading people to Jahannam. Ya salam. May Allah protect this ummah. My dear ones, we are going back to the questions. Why then did this community, and not the whole community, why then didn't you make dua for this young man that has embraced Islam? Why did you show happiness and make dua, Ya Allah, grant him to be a strong Muslim. Grant him to become a great leader. Grant him and his wife to produce great Muslimin. But we've chosen to make fitna. Why then didn't you bring forward your evidence? Where's your evidence? Were you present at the wedding? Have you asked the bridegroom? Have you asked the father? But you're making rulings. Why then didn't you say that Allah puts it, ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا? It is not befitting for us to speak about this. هذا بهتان عظيم. This is a big lie. This is again a ulama bashing, a ulama slandering. What is, for example, if I went to a wedding, what does that to do with the MGC leadership? But the issue was turned around, MGC leadership. There was one person, he wrote a letter to me as the life president. Have you heard? I'm now the life president of the MGC. No? I didn't know. And he says, you better remove yourself, otherwise we're going to remove you. So then these are empty threats, cheap threats. We don't even take note of it. Next year, inshallah, the ulama body that were the leaders of the Muslim community, this beautiful community, for 75 years, is going to celebrate the 75 years, inshallah. And so many attempts were made to overthrow the MCC, but Allah has protected the ulama of the MCC. Now show me any of the fitna mongers, bring forward any of the senior of the leadership of the MCC that has stolen any money, that has slept with another woman, that has had fraudulent deals. Bring me any evidence. We have honorable leaders, alhamdulillah. And we have an honorable community, and we have a loving community. And by the evidence and the testimony of so many foreigners from different countries, when they come to Cape Town, they say that we thought that the majority of people in Cape Town are Muslims. We see that Cape Town is alive. Islam is alive. How did it happen? Alhamdulillah, we had great leadership, great ulama, Sheikh Ahmad Bihadim, Sheikh Shakir Hamildin, Sheikh Nazim Muhammad, Sheikh Abu Bakr Najjar, so many others. I haven't got time to mention all the names. Honorable people. Alhamdulillah. My dear ones, there's much to say, but time is of the essence. We haven't got all the time. But allow me to conclude to say what Allah says, what we read earlier. لا تحسبوا مشر لكم بل هو خير لكم. Don't ever think that what has happened is bad. No, there's good also in it. So we're going to take the good out of it. And one of the good that we as Muslims of Cape Town, this beautiful community, are going to learn that if we use our phone and you get a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah that's going to benefit the ummah, then you send it to the whole ummah. But if you have got anything on WhatsApp and social media that is a fitna, that it causes discomfort and break up and fitna against the Muslimin, then you don't send it around. Then you listen to the words of Rasulullah. Kafa bil mar'i kadiban. Enough is it to be considered, says Rasulullah, not Ibrahim Gabriel's. Rasulullah says, enough is it needs to be considered a lie and a sin. That whatever you hear, you just pass on and you just speak about it. And that's exactly what is happening. And that's exactly the fitna that has happened here in Cape Town. Secondly, the other benefit that we are going to benefit, inshallah, and the good that we are going to reap from what has happened. We as the Muslim community of Cape Town should not allow any person just to nilly-willy brand Muslims to be kafir. Who gave this imam the right? What authority does he have to make another person kafir? Based on either lies or based on misinformation? Let us put it this way. And we are all people of intellect, alhamdulillah. Let us put it this way. Even if a person in Cape Town is the most learned scholar in the world, not only South Africa, in the world, he is the most knowledgeable person in the deen of Islam in the world, and something like this comes to him, he won't give a ruling. Because he knows that he must get all the facts. And he knows that he must call in the bride and the bridegroom and the father and the imam and the sheikh and people that were there. And he will scrutinize the facts and then he will make a hukum. But here we get the person here in Mitchell's Flynn. He made the imams and the sheikhs kafirin. And then the people of Majlis, the Majlis there in People Park Elizabeth, one man band, he says, no, they're not kafir, they're murtad. They are murtad. He's sitting there in Port Elizabeth. He doesn't know anything. But he calls the imams and the sheikh of prison as murtad. So that is the other benefit that we as a community of South Africa are going to take forward, inshallah. We're not going to allow people to make us kafir, nilly and willy. And maybe thirdly, there's a group here in Cape Town now that consider they are the only people that will go to Jannah. And they're the only real Muslimin. And all the other ulama, most of them are kafirin. And most of the Muslims here in Cape Town, when they go, wherever they do, they make the hadat and they make the maulid and they go to the kramats to greet the kramats, not to ask the kramats. Here from this minbar, important masjid, for 30 years we have given the lesson that you're not allowed to ask the awliya. We go there to respect the awliya because they have brought Islam, but they consider that to be shirk and the Muslims are mushrikeen. So this is the good that's going to come out of this debacle that has happened in Cape Town now for the last 2 weeks. That we as the beautiful community of Cape Town, we are telling them, we're not going to allow you to do that anymore. And in fact, we are such beautiful people, we're stretching out our hands to you. And we say to you, let us talk to one another in a beautiful way, in a respectable way, and knowledge, based on knowledge. Ayyuhal Ahibba, our time is over. And one day, Malak al-Mawt is going to tell you, your time is over. So we need to prepare ourselves. So let us say what we say every week here in this masjid, Tubu ila Allah wa astaghfiru. Make tawbah to Allah and ask Allah forgiveness. فإن رسولكم قال, because indeed our beloved Nabi Muhammad says, كل ابن آدم خطاء. Each and every child of Nabi Adam makes mistakes and wrongdoings. But the best of him are those who return to Allah. And dear listeners, for the voice of the Cape, you can ask the people of Portland. For the last 30 years, we don't forget to remind one another about the 5 times salah. Because all of us, we want to go to Jannah. And Rasulullah so much wanted us to go to Jannah. In his last breath, Rasulullah said to us, As-salah, as-salah. Ya Salam, the greatest leader. Rasulullah could have said in the last few moments, Ya Allah, La ilaha illallah, Subhanallah. But he sacrificed to say in his last words, so to make sure that each one of us are going to Jannah. And he said to us, my last word to you is, please preserve your salah. Because as much as I want you to go to Jannah, you won't be able to enter the Jannah unless you've got the key to the Jannah. So my dear brothers and sisters in the masjid, my dear sisters and brothers and listeners at home, wherever you are listening to the voice of the Cape, if you are one of those people that don't make your salah 5 times per day, I ask you in the name of Allah, from today onwards, make that decision. That from today onwards, you're not going to miss one salah. And I promise you, if you're going to do that, you're on your way to success. You're on your way to barakah. You're on to a beautiful life. And you're on your way to the greatest success, to Jannah. Amin, Ya Rabbil Alameen. A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat li ghadan. واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. Allah speaks to all of us and Allah says to us, oh you believe, oh you believe in me, oh you believe that one day you're gonna die, oh you will believe that you're gonna stand in front of me the day of Qiyamah. اتقوا الله, be conscious of Allah always. وَالْتَنْذُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ. And let each and every person, each one of you, look into your preparations for tomorrow, referring to the day of Qiyamah. Look into what you have sent forward to the day of Qiyamah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And then Allah says again, be conscious of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Indeed, Allah is well informed and well acquainted with whatever you do. Jamaat Muslimin, the Quran is so powerful. You can enter the Jannah by just practicing and understanding and implementing one word of the Quran. And the one word I'm referring to now here is that Allah is khabir. Allah is well informed. Allah knows everything about you. So you as a believer, you say to yourself, if Allah knows everything about me, and Allah see whatever I do every day, and every night, every minute, every hour, every second, then I don't want to do anything wrong. And by that, you will be successful. Allahu Akbar. Now what was me? It was once again an honor to be with you. It was an honor to be with our dear and loved ones and dear listeners of the voice of the King. May Allah subhanahu protect this community. And may Allah subhanahu grant us that the best of our lives is going to be the rest of our lives is going to be the best of our lives. We just a few announcements. Our Hajj class will be starting on Tuesday night, inshallah, after Maghrib. Everybody is most welcome to join us for the Hajj class. And also, we're going to make dua for Haji Zuleika Biskombi, the mother of Faisal Biskombi from Salam Bosch, who passed on last week. A wonderful woman. We make dua that Allah must grant Nur al-Qabr. And may Allah grant the Jannah for those. And for Shamil Abrams, 24 years old, from Beacon Valley, want to ask him to make dua for him. He was admitted to Christian Hospital and they detected that he has cancer. We don't know yet what type of cancer. So we make dua for Shamil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that, you know, that the sickness is going to be a mercy for him. And he's going to take it in good spirit, as we explained it about 2 months ago in the Jumu'ah, that cancer is not a bala, it is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah grants you a headache and you are satisfied, Allah will forgive all your sins. Now what if you are diagnosed with cancer? It is part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will you please kindly make dua for a 10-year-old boy called Dayan Manuel, studying at Darul Ubay, Hafiz School. It is his birthday. We wish to complete his Quran and will be the youngest Hafiz of Sheikh Ismail Lont, mashallah. So make special dua for Dayan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him, inshallah, strength and all our children to be able to complete the Hibzul Quran. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad, walhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.